We're starting Shin Chav Ches. The first halacha in Shin Chav Ches, I don't think I'm going to read it, is how you do the hafrasha, the actual the mechanics of the bracha and things like that. We're going to talk about some of the, a few different pieces that relate to actually performing hafrasha sal. Okay, and the first is like this. We're in Simin Shin Chav Ches. In Simin Shin Chav Vav, the Pesach Tshuva mentioned in passing that you can do hafrasha sal b'machshava. Okay, you could just have in mind, oh, that piece over there, that's what's the challah. It's really a din in Hilchos Tshuva, that Tshuva can be done by Machshava. You don't have to actually say, this is the Tshuva and whatever. The Chazanish assumes that it applies to lots of other things also. It's questioned exactly which things of Tshuva and Meiser and things like that it applies to. Pashas says that it applies to all cases of Tshuva. And that such a din, it's a din that you'll have to do by Machshava. That said, there are two Achronim that I know of who say that's only the Midraisa. Midrabanan, you're not allowed to do the Machshava. Okay? One is Tshuva Rabbi Kiveger, written by his uncle. Okay, the Tshuva is written by his uncle. And the Tshuva says that when we make when you do Bedikas Chametz, we don't make a bracha, or Al Bedikas Chametz, whatever the bracha would be, we don't make that bracha. And the reason why we don't make that bracha is because anything that can be done belayed doesn't get a bracha. That's a rule in Hilchos Brachos, that if you could do it belayed, then, and since bittul, you could do belayed, therefore we don't make a bracha. So he says, well, if that's true, how can we make a bracha on hafrashas truma and hafrashas challah? How can we make a bracha? If you could do it belayed, you could do it b'machshava. You could just say, you could have in mind, that's what it is. How come you make a bracha on it? So he says, that tells us that the Rabbanan, you're mechuyev to speak it out. You can't do it b'machshava. Excuse me? But we don't make a bracha on the Bedikas Chametz because beer you can't do from Hashava. Let's explain why you don't make a bracha on the Bedikas itself.
How about
the Bedikas
you can't do
from Hashava
either?
So Bedikas is considered part of Bittul. We're focusing on Rabban. The point was that there's this rule. What we learned from Bedikas Chametz is a rule that things that are the Machshava don't have a bracha on them. Okay? Why works it? Yes.
Why doesn't Chazal tell us?
So it's a really good question. But I'm going to say the next person who says it also is like, if it's true that you can't do Machshava, how come it doesn't say it in any of the holy books? I mean, how come we don't know? No one knows about it.
Is it Tshuva or just Chala?
No, he's not. Yeah, anything.
Chala
is a version of Tshuva. Okay. Yeah, so it is.
But isn't there Bracha and Tshuva also?
Exactly. So he says that's because midrabanan you're not allowed to do b'machshava. You're mechuyev to speak it out. Okay. Now the Chazanish says the same thing also. The Chazanish also says you can't do b'machshava midrabanan. He says he thinks it's Yerushalmi that says that. Okay. At least that's a start. At least it's Yerushalmi saying it. It still begs the question of how come nobody else knows about this thing? Like this is okay. But that's what they say. That you need to now. But the Chazanish when he says it, he says you have a choice. You can either do it. You have to midrabanan. You have to either speak it out or do a physical action. You have to do a separation, okay? You have to do one or the other. So now, because of that, most people being mafresh challah never would come across this din. Okay? Even if we say there's such a din that you have to speak it out, most people don't have such a problem because they actually pull out a piece. It's usually pretty easy. You pull out the piece, and yet most people who are doing mafresh challah are pulling off a piece. Yeah.
This works on challah d'oraisa as well.
What do you mean, it works? The machshava? Yeah. It works on Tshuva, it works on everything.
Practical.
It means if I made 50 rolls...
Let's say it's one batch.
I didn't say it's always reasonable to do it. Let's say if it's one batch, you say the part that's on the left side, and you want the stuff on the left side, and then afterwards, you'll eventually have to give it to the client. But the chal was chal on the part that you had in mind.
Unless you don't separate it, you don't give it.
Then you have a different problem. Now you have tshuva mixed into your food. That's a different problem. What you do then? Now you have tshuva mixed into your food.
What's enough? I mean, bottom line is you have to separate.
You have to. That's a practical thing. At the end, you have to. That's a practical. Okay. So for most people, never come across this because everybody just pulls off a piece. Of course, there are two people who will be negated to. Okay. One is a favorite one we like to talk about, which is the Tevel Hafrashas Challah system, which is what we do remotely. We think this challah, the piece of dough or a piece of matzah sitting in a bakery someplace, and the next little gram is challah. We don't separate, we don't pull a piece across, so then this potential dindurabana will come into play. You have to say something. You can't just have it in mind, you have to say something. Whereas in your house, just when you pull a piece apart, the Chazanish says that's good enough, you pull the piece off, that's good enough, it's for saying it, you could be it like that. And in other cases, I guess, if you'd be at someone's house, and you'd be embarrassed to do a Hafreshes Truma Meiser or a Hafreshes Challah. Okay? You go to someone's house, you don't know if they're Mafresh Challah or the Mafresh Truma, so you'd want to do the Hafreshes. So the din, the rice is, you could do a B'machshava. You could have in mind, the carrot that's on the end of my plate, that's the Truma for all the other carrots that are there. You wouldn't have to speak anything. You wouldn't have to separate anything. And when you finish, you just leave that one over. So you can, without trying to embarrass your host, you could, what?
Then what's going to happen to that carrot?
It's a separate problem. So wait, no, when you're finished, you'll wrap it up. So, you know, just wrap up the garbage. You'll fix it. Okay, but... Right, so it's a... No, so if you made a bracha, then you'd be good also. The shayla is, okay, you're trying to do nothing. You're sitting in someone's house, and you say, excuse me, you guys see kosher? You know, you're my fritshuma? So you don't want to do that. So the person's just thinking, yeah, the peas of the carrot. The one on the left side, that's the one that's, you know, I'm being my fritsh.
What if you eat about it?
So you have to keep in mind. But this you can do quietly. So that would come into play this din. They have to either do something, you have to like push it across like that, or you'd have to say something about it. Okay. Now, what's a little more lemaisa for us? Is a different question.
Does everybody agree that the Rakshama works?
It's a din, yeah. It's a very
right.
I don't remember if it's tomorrow. It's in Ram Hilchos Trumas, I forgot where it is. Okay, it's in Hilchos Trumas. Yeah, as I mentioned, the Pesach says it in passing. It's the thing that brought in Hilchos Trumas. The Chazanish talks about which other things it applies to. Some things, yes, and he talks about exactly which things it applies to. And challah would be one that would apply to.
If I tell my wife when she takes the wife without a bracha, she takes the picture, she says, Arizu challah.
Yes.
That's wrong. You don't have to say Arizu
challah. Well, you may have to say that. We're probably not going to talk about that today. There may be a reason to say Harezu Truma separately. It's over here. People talk about it over here. I don't think we're going to talk about that. Yes, you should say it.
You should say that.
Yes. Okay.
Take the words. Come on, if you take several without a problem, it's not enough. She takes the piece, you just take up the piece and say nothing. Take up the piece, you have
to
do that. You don't have to do that. You're not going to
show. The Chazanish says that even if you have to... No, nothing to do with bracha. That's the hafrasha. Have
she
to have
myself
verbal...
Myself
of right, because she's the maestro. That's correct. Correct. Okay, now.
So she's saying that I am not wrong. For some reason.
I think you're correct that you should say it.
You should say it.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know why.
Okay, now. One thing's like this. What's more lamaisa for most people is that what happens if a person wants to say he's going to verbalize that first, he's going to do that, but instead of saying a whole nusach, he wants to just say, I'm doing it according to the nusach. I don't remember the whole thing today. He said, I want to do it according to whatever it says on the paper. Okay, so for most people doing hafreshes trum hafreshes challah, that doesn't make any sense. There's nothing to say. You say, this is, like he said, Harizu Challah, or Harizu Truma. There's not so much to say. So it's an easy thing to do. What it comes up as a Shaila L'maisa for most people is, on a Hafreshes Truma. On a Hafreshes Truma, there's a whole thing to say. I want the Truma to be over here, and the Maisa to be over here, and if it's a year of Maisa Rishon, the Maisa Shein, the whole thing to say. So that's the Shaila took that for people in Eretz Yisrael who have this long thing to say. But it's also negated to us for a Hafreshes Truma. Again, for the Tevel system, okay, our Nusach of Tevel, to be Mafresh Truma with the Tevel system is 81 words long. Did I say Tevel?
You're saying
Truma. Okay, so Hafreshes Challah. We say it's 81 words long, okay? And in one of the OU versions, it was 153 words long, okay? The nusach that you say to reference remotely.
What's
you look at it, you'll see ours is 81 words long, and that's even without mentioning all the names of the companies. If you're the RC for 12 companies, you have to say, I'm doing it for company this and over here, and this company, you have all these things to say. So the shayla is, could the guy get away with just saying, I want it, whatever's on my paper on the desk, that's what I want to do at first. So whatever's on my paper on my desk.
Can we use the Kelmoli before specialist?
Okay. There we go. Okay. So it's a question. So the Chazanish says it's not a problem. Okay. The Chazanish, you may know, the Chazanish is the one who says that you're allowed to do that. Okay. Two of his writings are like this. The Rama says, The Rama says that if a person, like when you make a tanai, you have to make there are rules how you make tanai. You have to tanai kibnei kodav nevuvei. If a person says, I'm making a tonight that I'm only selling you my car on the condition of whatever, and I say, and it should be like the tonight that they're going to renovate. But I'm not telling you all the details. Whatever it needs to accomplish, Rama says, that's good enough. You don't have to actually speak out the tonight with the conditions of tonight. You just have to say, and it should be for you, those rules. Another thing is, if you have two Aiden coming to Bezid, so each of the Aiden has to say their Aiden. So the first Aiden, this is a Gemara, the first Aiden can say his Aiden, and the second can say, I saw the same thing. I'm like him. Okay, that's good enough. Okay? The one says it by a very specific case, but that's the thing you're allowed to say. So even though the person didn't do his Haggadah Zaydis, he didn't say the Zaydis he was supposed to, he said, I'm like him, that was good enough. Okay, so, the Tzipesach Frank argues, He says, in all those cases when the person is doing hafrasha, he's saying something, his word don't have to accomplish anything. He's not trying to do anything. That all he's doing is he's making a gilu das. I'm saying is, I want to make a tonight with you. I'm only selling you my car on the condition that you wear a red shirt tomorrow. I want to have a gilu das that I mean according to those the time that Reuven and the same thing by the atheist also. He says, but by a fresh shuma, the person has to make a chalois, he has to create something, he has to change this from being tevel into chulin, tevel into truma, and therefore the person has to speak it out. Okay? So far, if we were holding it at this point, according to Tzvi Pesach, what you'd have to do is, you have to read the whole 81 words. You might get away with saying, the companies like they're listed in my paper. Okay, maybe that's just a gilu das. Which companies do I want it to happen for? Maybe you could say, yeah, that list I have in my drawer of 10 companies, that's who it's for. Maybe you can get away from that.
Is it the same thing for Truman and for Challah?
Yeah, same thing. They have the same rules. Okay, now, however, the truth is, I'm not convinced that that's true. I mean, Hartley does argue, and he says, for Hafrash Hashum, you can't do that, but I'm not convinced that he would really argue in Halacha L'maaseh. And the reason is as follows. He has a kashya himself. He says, you saw me at the beginning of Nazir, for all those who aren't up to Chazar, you saw me Nazir. The beginning of Nazir says, if a person says, he said like this, if I say that I'm going to be bread, that means I'm going to be a Nazir. That's what the guy says. He set up a thing that says, if I say I will be bread, then I'm going to be a Nazir. If he ever says, I am bread, then he's a Nazir. Okay? So he set up this code that when he says, I will be bread, he means that I will be a Nazir, and that makes him into a Nazir. He says, so you see, you don't have to say the truth. You could just say, I'll be bread. I mean, I'll be bread doesn't mean I'll be a Nazir. But if you could set up a code that says, I'll be bread means I'll be a Nazir. So it sounds like you could do like the Chazar said. He says, no, it's not a right. He says, because over there, the person set up this thing to mean that. It's not a magical thing. He made an announcement in advance and said, when I say bread, I mean Nazir. So as long as, if I set up, it's like we developed a new word, I announce, this word means the following. Okay, so whenever everyone knows in school, when I say the word frindle, I mean pencil, and so therefore, I set up a code word. So I said, I'm going to mean, when I be bread, so I set it up, that's good enough. As opposed to if a guy just says, I'm doing it according to the nusach of my pocket, that doesn't mean anything. That's not clear enough. Okay, now, whether the answer is a good answer or not, we could talk about. But what it means for us is that, let's say the guy says, I want to be Marfish Truma according to the nusach that it says in my siddur. Okay, in the printed siddur, I don't know if the American siddur have it. I say, according to this and this siddur, I want to do according to that nusach. So now, all of a sudden, he's not saying something that's unknown. He's not saying something that's just a magical, unknown thing. He's connecting to something specific. Okay. Let's say the person says, after the CRC put out a paper that says, this is how we want the Hafrasha to happen, and here's the 81 words you're supposed to read, so now when I'm referencing that thing, I'm referencing them specific. That's more like the person who said, I want to be bread, than the person who just said, according to the Nusach from my pocket. He's referencing them that's well known. Okay. Or at a minimum, if the RC would go to his friend, hey, listen here, from now on, whenever I say, I want to be Marfish Challah, according to the Nusach in my drawer, I mean the following. I read off the whole 81 words then he just set up a code, just like the Gemara said in Nazir. So he could do that, at the minimum. Okay, even if you don't believe me that setting the same line, according to a printed Nusach, that's good enough, that's like referencing something specific, at the minimum, one day he'd call his friend and say, listen here, Baruch, I need to read you this thing. Whenever I say, I want to be Marfish according to the Sirius Nusach, I mean is the following 81 words, and then it'll be good.
Okay. He
was talking about just the guy saying is, I have written down on a paper what the nusach is, and I'm doing according to what's written on the paper.
What are the words he said? I'm doing according to that, that's all he said?
Yeah, I'm just doing according to that. So then the guy was saying, the chasnish says that's fine. Chasnish says it doesn't matter. As long as what you said, I mean, it's the truth, it really is on the piece of paper, that was good.
The difference is exactly what?
The difference is between whether you're referencing something that's a known object or just an unknown object. Right. He says, once you reference, he brings on this, Yishalmi knows. If once the thing is known, once it's been announced or made clear that this means that, then it's good. Yes. Yeah. You could argue on his chiluk, in which case the Yishalmi is a riot against him. So he's being miyasher. He's saying the Yishalmi is not a riot against me. And so even with the hint that he wants to say the Yishalmi is not a riot against him, even so, the Yishalmi is very limits to what he said. It's only in very specific cases. Once it's printed in the siddur, and I say, according to the ABC siddur, this siddur I'm using, I'm referencing, page 26, what it says. Okay,
even if you wrote the Nusach and the Mashkiach in the field, there's no clue what it says.
No, so if we post on our website, okay, right. This is the official Nusach you're supposed to say. So the guy says, I'm doing according to an unknown thing.
But he himself has no clue what it says.
Right, I mean, that make a difference, because he's referencing...
The Mashkiach doesn't do it, Darcy doesn't.
Whoever it is.
Whoever it is doesn't have no clue. But what's it?
No.
Whoever doesn't have to know that.
Why is he? No, he's just saying, but if the RC would say, I'm doing it according to the nusach that it says on the CRC website.
And he knows what the nusach is.
No, why does he have to know it? He's just referencing something.
He has to know that it exists.
He has to know that it exists. So he said, I'm doing it according to the official nusach, then that's a. Okay, now, I have to just tell you, you're probably thinking that I'm sort of. I missed the point here, which was at the beginning I told you could do hafrash of the machshava. Okay, well, if you do have at least b'di'evit, you can do hafrash of b'machshava. If I can do b'machshava, why do I have to say anything? Okay, why does it make a difference? How can you say? How can it be worse to do b'machshava than to say is according to the nusach ha'metaket? How can it be worse? Minadin, at least the equivalent is that it would work. Okay, so Hatzi says, he says, if you say a nusach, you could ruin it. Okay, if you do it b'machshava, that's fine. But if you say I want to do it the following way and you ruin it, then that could be worse.
Okay? Anyway, machshava can only work if you have in mind that you want words.
Have in mind, I want to do a freshness. Oh, you mean I have to think through all those annual?
Right.
Oh, okay. He doesn't say that. That's a point. Maybe I have to think it through all the you know, in my mind, say that the room is over here, and this is, okay, maybe. Okay. Okay. We spoke about in the past. Next point. We spoke about in the past whether you make a bracha when you use the Tevel system. Okay, we had spoken about there's a problem in Shinchav Zayin about making a bracha the way we do the in the Tevel system. Okay, but the Ardin says that you're supposed to make a bracha like most people expect. Okay, and there's a machlokes here in the Mechaber in the Din here what the bracha is that you're supposed to make. I'll read you some words here. That much I can read you. B'shashi yafresh chala when you mafresh chala yivorech Hashem kedeshanu mitzoyse v'tzivonu lahafresh chuma. The Mechaber says the bracha you should make is L'hafresh chuma, and the Rama says, "Oy l'hafresh chala." Okay, or you could say l'hafresh chala. You don't say l'hafresh chuma; you say l'hafresh chala. What's machlokes? Well, what are they talking about? Okay, so the shaila really is the question is what the word, what that word chala means. Chala does not mean the braided bread you eat on Shabbos. Okay, that for sure. That one, I mean, that's colloquially what it means, but that's not what it really means. Okay, so where is the word chala? So. And again, to us, in the Torah telling us about the din of Hafrashas Chala, it says, Reshes Arishasechem, Chala Tarimu Chuma, Chuma Skarim, Ke Tarimu Isa. Okay, so it uses the word Chala in the Pasuk there, and that's where the word comes from. So what does that word mean? Reshes Arishasechem, Chala Tarimu Chuma. What does that word Chala in that Pasuk mean? So, there's something called the Siddur of Rashi. And Rashi over there says that the word Chala is an adjective. Okay? Chala is not a noun. Doesn't describe something. It's not a name of something. It's an adjective, and it describes something that's long and thin, okay, or has a certain shape to it. So he says that for that reason, when the Torah is telling you chala tarima chuma, when you do this hafrasha, you should do it in a certain shape. Okay, you should chala tarima chuma. Be marvish your chuma in a certain shape to it. An uka v'charora. Okay, do it in a certain shape to the point that. This Siddur Rashi says that when you mafish challah nowadays and you're going to burn it, before you burn it, you should turn it into that shape. So you should roll it into a long shape because the Torah says challah tarima chuma. That's what you're supposed to do. You should mafish it in this shape to it. So and so the Rashi says, and then of course, you can't make a bracha l'hafresh challah. It's a ridiculous bracha. Hashem commanded us to separate round. It's not a sentence. It doesn't mean anything. To separate, like, you know, in English, we would change what he said, but we would say it's round things. Okay, that's a noun. Okay, but no. The word chala means like round, like a certain shape to it. Okay, and Rashi in Chumash says on the word chala in that pasuk, Rashi says tortil. Okay, I probably didn't pronounce that right. Okay, but that's how the Americans would pronounce it. Okay, tortil. Okay, what does tortil mean?
Tortilla.
No, it doesn't mean tortilla. No, he wasn't. Spanish, and it means it's a French word that means it's very similar to a word that we have now, tortel or tortu. Okay, I'm not pronouncing any of those right. Okay, which means and it also means a round loaf of bread. Okay, or there's another variation of that word in modern French, which means a certain crab. Okay, when you look at the crab, you see the crab's got lots of legs, but if you look at the middle of it, it looks like a big round. Center, the torso of the crab is round, that's why it has that name. So what Rashi is telling us that the word chala means this rounded thing, and that's why Rashi only translates the word chala over here. And in the other places in the Torah where it said the word chala beforehand, okay, well, I'll mention it in a second, the Torah had said the word chala beforehand in other places in the Torah, in talking about halachas, menachos, it talks about chalas, a chalas pulls for Hashem. Rashi doesn't have what a chala means. Okay? Rashi only decides to tell us what chala means in Bar Midbar. When it talks about hafrashas chala, and the reason is because over here it's halacha l'maisa. Over here, knowing what the word chala means, like he says in the Siddur, means is that you have to be marfashit in this round shape. That's the Torah tongue. You be marfashit in a round shape, even if you're going to burn it. That's what you have to do. So Rashi translates it here, not in the other places before.
Okay. Well, like a ball or like a cylinder.
It wasn't clear to me. It wasn't clear to me because Rashi in Siddur makes it sound like it's an elongated round thing, like more like oval shape. The Rashi in Chumash, the tortilla sounds more to me round, like literally round.
You can
tell
it and shape it.
Shape it. Rashi says in the Siddur, he says not only of course you can't make the bracha of hafrash chala, ridiculous. The word hafrash chala doesn't make any sense. To separate round, that doesn't make any sense. He says, but you actually must have to form it before you throw it into the oven.
You're
not saying a pasuk like that. I mean, because you don't roll it into that shape.
The bracha, we say you
don't have a challah. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Give me a second. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? The Bishaysa brings such a shita. That's what the Dim we're talking about. The Bishaysa brings, not Rashi, he doesn't bring Rashi, he brings a smug, who says also that if he said Lahafra Chal, you weren't Yitzhak, okay? And the Bishaysa says he was Hifriz al Hamida, Hifriz al Midoza, a little overdid it to say you're not Yitzhak. And he says, and that's what the Torah says, you can say either Lahafra Shum or Lahafra Chal. Okay? If either one of them works, okay? Now, okay, and that's why the Ramah says, when the Mechaber said you say Lahafra Shuma, the Ramah says, or Lahafra Chal. Either of them is good, which is what the Torah said. Okay? Not like what Rashi said. Okay? It's a little bit of a question because the Rambam says you should say lahafresh chala. Okay, that's the nusach. You're supposed to say lahafresh chala. So it's a little bit odd when here in the Beis Yosef said there isn't an advantage over saying lahafresh chuma, right? That he said no. This is hifrez al midoza. You don't have to say it. You can't say lahafresh chala. So if both of them are equal and the Rambam said you should say lahafresh chala, it wasn't clear at first why the Mechaber says you should say lahafresh chuma. He doesn't say you have a choice. The Rambam said you have a choice. So the Gemara says the reason why the Mechaber said that way, again, not like the Rambam said, both Lashonis seemingly are equal, but the Gemara says is, the way we use the word challah to mean the separation you do from dough when you have to give to a Kohen, that's, he calls Lashon Chachamim. That in Mishnayis, it's called Mishnayis challah. That Lashon Chachamim, to call that piece, it's called the Habir Hilchas challah, that Lashon Chachamim, to call that challah. But Lashon Torah is not to call that. Lashon Torah is called Truma. And therefore, there's a preference to call it, to use a lashon haTorah when you make the bracha l'hafresh truma. So the Gra says the word in the Torah, the word chala doesn't mean that. He says look at earlier in Chumash when it says chala is belulas b'shemen. He says what does that mean? Okay, what is chala is belulas b'shemen? He says you don't mix something that you separate or something like that. You don't mix it in shemen. The word over there means dough. Okay, chala means dough. So chala is belulas b'shemen means dough mixed in oil. So over here, the Gemara says, this is how you should read the pasuk. Okay? We're going to read you just in time. Okay, I'm going to do a repeat of last week. Okay? Which is, maybe I'll say it in this one. In the Torah it says, Reishis Arisa Sechem. On the word Arisa Sechem, there's a Zakeh Katam, which means to stop. Reishis Arisa Sechem. Okay? And then the pasuk goes, Chala Tarima Chuma. Okay? That's Mufi, the way Rashi would learn. Okay? The Gemara says, that's not how you read the pasuk. He says, Reishis Arisa Sechem Chala. When you make a new dough, a new batch of food to eat, which is dough, comma, Torim or Chumah Hashem. Then you should separate Chumah. Okay? Does not read according to the Trub. The reading of the Pasuk according to the word Chal does not mean what you give to the Kohen. Chal is a description of what you were making. You made dough, then you should give a piece to the Kohen, which is not the simple reading of the Pasuk. The reading of the Pasuk, as the Trub says it, has the word Chal in the second half of the Pasuk, not the first half of the Pasuk. Okay? So if you have a minute, I'll tell you a variation of what the Gemara says. Variation of the Gemara says, which will answer a kasha, and I'm sure none of you, no, not too many people answer this kasha, but it'll answer a kasha, okay? The Netziv says like this. He says a variation of what the Gemara says. He says that the word challah refers to a loaf or a piece. What I mean, and the way he reads the pasuk is like this. Reishis Arisa Sechem, when you make the first of the batches that you're making, Challah Terima Chuma, make sure you give the Kohen one of the challahs. Okay? And it's a remez in the Torah that he's supposed to give the Kohen a 24th or 48th. The sheer challah that we had at the beginning is merumez in the word challah. The Torah doesn't say just give him something. That's in Chuma. It says just give him something. Just give him Chuma. Here it says Challah Terima Chuma. Give him a challah, meaning something that's of significance, a piece. Give him a loaf. Okay? And therefore, when the Torah says challah, it means the cheshbon works out that if you made a batch of dough that was 2.5 pounds, Well, so if that's what the shechal is, a 2.5 pound, then the challah, then you broke it up. He says you would break up that piece into 24 pieces. Each one would be roughly the size of a cookie. Okay, that's what comes out of the chesed, the size of a cookie. So give the Torah is saying, according to Rashi, challah terima truma means give the kohen something round. Okay, shape it before you give it to him. And according to the Netziv, the Torah is saying is challah terima truma, give him one of those challahs that you made. And that's a remez to the shear that he's supposed to give to the kohen. He doesn't give him a 24th or 48th. Okay, now.
Where did you say that ratio?
What? He makes a cheshbon that that's how much each piece would be, and when I tell you give him a challah, it means give him one of those pieces. Like as if in our language, it's not the right shear. We say, give him a bilkula, you give him a mini challah. Okay, now by us, the actual piece is much tinier. The piece is really like the size of a cookie. Okay, the 24th is like the size of a cookie, but that's what he says to me. Now, that's what the Tziv says, and according to the Tziv, the word challah reads, the word challah reads better into the pasuk. It's Resh Service Sechem, Challah Terima Truma. Give the Kohen a challah, more like Rashi says, give him a piece. Okay. For me, it answered the Kasha, which was, in Simon Shinchav Beis, what do I not say? In Shinchav Beis, it says, you have to mark the 24th. Remember that then? Way back then it didn't say that, sorry. This is what the Torah says. This is what the Torah says in Shinchav Beis. It says, when you, this is what the Shulchan Aruch says in Shulchan Beis. He says, the Ikra Din is, you give the Kohen even a tiny bit. Midr Rabbanan, you have to give a 24th or a 48th. And then he talks about what we do halacha l'maaseh nowadays. Okay? So those all, they go with each other. They follow with each other. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, the Din is, you can give even a mashu. That's the Din. Midr Rabbanan is another shir. But I'm not going to tell you that now. I'll tell you that at a different time. Okay? And then he goes off to talk about with two chals and what you should do with that. Okay? And then in Shinchav Ches, wakes up the Torah and says, oh, you know, by the way, I forgot to tell you that the shear that you have to give to a Kohen is the 24th. And then he says, what the bracha is. Now, why did the Torah wait for all these simana to tell us that the shear is the 24th? Where is he? In Shinchav Beis, he said, the shear midrash, he give anything. But there's another shear, I'm not telling you what it is. You'll find out later what that is. So why, of all places, to plop it back in here, does he decide over here to tell us, and the next words are, and the bracha is like this. Why is he telling us that? Why doesn't he tell us back over there? So you could come and answer. So according to Netziv, we'll understand why he said it over here. Because now, when I tell you that the shear is the 24th, that's where we get the right to make the bracha l'hafresh challah. Okay, now the word challah, now that you know that the word challah in the Torah means a 24th, if the Torah is up, so now I can say l'hafresh challah, that even much when I tell you it's l'hafresh challah. Okay, you don't have to agree with me. Okay, anyhow. It is a question. When you open up the Torah, it really strikes you, and after you open it, he says, you should give a 24th, and you think, 24th? I heard that thing a long time ago. And when you go back to Shinchav Beis, you find out that the Torah didn't say it. In Shinchav Beis, just said this, I'll tell you later. Okay, and the Beis Yosef tells you then, he's like, what's the secret? Like, I'll tell you now what it is. And that's why I put in Shulchan Aruch, that into us, what is the logical order. Okay. Let's do two other more little things, if we have time. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says, I didn't read this part, that a lady who's not dressed, a lady who's naked, is allowed to make the bracha on a horse's challah. Okay? There's no problem of liberis erev, she sits down, it's all din in the din of liberis erev. Okay? That's not important to us right now, that's beyond me, why this lady's being mafra challah. Okay? It sounds like the craziest story. Anyhow, but what negate to us is, that the Magen Avraham says, in Hilchos Tzitzis, he says, there's a rule that you have to make brachas and mitzvahs standing up. So you have to make brachas standing up. Why is this lady making her brachas sitting down? So he says, the reason why she makes the brachas sitting down is because there's be'etzim no mitzvah to be mafresh challah. Your own mafresh challah is just a t'nai. In order to be able to eat the food, you have to be mafresh challah. If you want to eat, you have to be mafresh challah. And therefore, that is not considered a brachas and mitzvahs. It is a brachas and mitzvahs, but it's not an inherent mitzvah to do it. It's not like some other mitzvah that you must do the mitzvah. This is just if you want to eat, then you have to be mafresh challah. And therefore, this bracha can be said sitting down. Okay? There's two arguments on that Magen Avraham. One is Pesach Tshuva says, he says, the reason, really, you have to stand up even for this bracha also. Not like the Magen Avraham, you don't have to stand up. The reason why the lady's sitting down is because otherwise she won't be able to make the bracha. Okay? Now over here, they're sitting down is because you're stuck. If I don't sit down, I can't make the bracha. It'll be Libra's Royal's Erva. So I'm stuck and I have to stand up. But for Etzem, it's not any different than the other, then you have to sit down. That's what Pesach Tshuva says. And the Gra in Bar Chaim says, he says, no, it's a mistake. The whole Magen Avraham is a mistake. That there is no such thing that you're mechuyev to stand up for Birchas HaMitzvos, except for very specific cases when you have to stand up for Birchas HaMitzvos. But as a rule, what the Magen Avraham says is a rule, is not true. There is no such rule that you have to stand up for Birchas HaMitzvos. And this, the Gra says, we talked about this Gra once before, this is a Birchas HaMitzvos, you are mechuyev to do that for Shas Hala. It's not, the Magen Avraham is wrong about that part, and really it's a Birchas HaMitzvos, but you don't have to stand up for Birchas HaMitzvos. Okay, so there's a lot more to say about this. Mestamo, all of you remember my son Yaakov at his bar mitzvah spoke about this, by his pshetel. So Mestamo, you remember back from the pshetel, for those who were living here. Yeah, who were living here. Mestamo, he spoke about this by his pshetel. Okay, you have to say it for Birchus mitzvah. Okay. Okay, last thing is, when you're mafresh challah, everybody understands, as people were mentioning before you, that when you do the hafrasha, you have to know where the challah is. When mafreshuma, where the piece is, because if you don't, you can eat it. Okay, there's a simple reason to know where the truma or the challah is, because if you don't make it obvious which is the piece, then you're going to end up eating it, which of course you're not allowed to do. Okay, that's an easy reason to understand why you have to do that. But let's say you don't care about that. Well, let's say you're going to do like an R&R, we do a tevel system where we're never going to eat it. Eventually, the whole thing's going to be truma. We're going to. Well, you're a kohen. Okay, let's say if you're a kohen, so you don't care about. I didn't think of that case. Let's say you're a kohen, you don't care where the truma is. So there's a second reason. There's a second din that tells you that you have to know where the truma is. Not just because you won't by mistake eat it. And that's because, v'chalkes in the Mishnah, we paskin that a truma is not chal unless you're mitzayin the makam. Okay, you have to designate, make it obvious where the truma is. It's a din in shiurei nikarim. We took that way back when. And if you remember, the din of shiurei nikarim applies even by chal schutzaretz. There's a din, you have to... The point is to separate and show this is the truma and this is the chulin left over, and you have to do something. You have to separate them, not just so you don't by mistake eat it. That's like a technical reason. You have to separate so you don't eat it, but you're mechuyev to make it obvious this is the truma and this is the nachas.
It's part of that fresh.
It's part of that part of the mitzvah of our freshness to do it. Now, so you might think that requires you to be very very specific as to where it is. And again, a question on our tevel system, we were not so specific on where it is. But what nice is, the good news is, the Rambam says that when it says in that Mishnah, you have to be Mitzai in the place, okay, if you even make it clear which quadrant of the food it's in, that's good enough. Okay, you don't have to be so clear that it's exactly, you know, measured 4 centimeters from this side and 2 centimeters from that side. You have to just give a rough idea that's good enough, you get to this thing. And the mail, which is why we say things like, I'm being marvelous, a gram next to the gram I did yesterday. Okay, even though saying a gram next to what I did yesterday is not so exact of where the spot is, but it's good enough. Okay, the point is you don't have to be so, it doesn't, the being Mitzayin doesn't mean that you might have to measure it out, bring the surveyor down to tell us exactly where it is, and what we do is good enough.